This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Greg. And this is Dan. And we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. Podcast that enjoys breaking the fourth wall just as much as Deadpool, because today we will be doing our Deadpool review. But before we talk about the mark with the mouth, how's the week been going for you guys?
Week's been pretty good. Pretty crazy roller coaster weather ride we've been on. We've had like 3 below, and then 2 days later we had 53 degrees. So.
Man, so what you're saying is the potholes are coming.
So. Yeah, we
instead of winters coming, potholes are coming.
Yeah,
50 degree swing in less than 48 hours, which,
wow.
I mean, for the good, I mean, it was good that it warmed up, but yeah, it was crazy. We had like really strong wind and everything. We lost power the one night and stuff. It was like right in the middle of eating dinner and like all the lights went out. I'm like, damn it. But and it was funny because it was the night that Flash was on.
Oh man.
And I was like super excited for Flash because it was the second Earth 2 episode, and luckily, like, I was waiting around. It was like an hour. It was still out. I had like candles everywhere, and
did you watch it by candlelight? Is that what happened?
Well, I was about to fire up the generator and like plug in the cable box and the TV and see if I could get it, but luckily it was about 8:10 that the power came on, and I was able to watch the rest of the episode, so I was like, thank God. I was about to get mad.
Nice. You wouldn't like Chuck when he's angry.
That's right.
Greg, how are things going with you? You feeling better this week?
Oh, yes, thank you. that week was rough. No, but I'm doing much better. I got back on my workouts again, and I lost my love handles. Those seem to be the first things that go when I start to work out. Love handles kind of shrink off.
Oh, so there's less for you to love then, huh?
A little bit, but I'm still overall very lovable, ladies.
Don't that
please? That's so desperate.
Yeah, I don't think we, well, let's be honest, there's probably no ladies that actually listen to this podcast. So. But my week's been going decently well. Took my son to go get his first haircut, which is kind of insane. He just has like...
So Mohawk?
Yeah, I wanted to go Mohawk. I was thinking like either that or cornrows. Not over well though. No, just a basic cut. He's only 9 months old, but he has tons and tons of hair. So we had to go. It went pretty well, actually, better than I expected. He cried a little bit, but not too much. But we went to this place called Cartoon Cuts, which I now want to get my hair cut at, because, you know, why not get your hair cut by a cartoon? But it was not really a cartoon, more like this old 60-year-old lady with a raspy voice. So not
How's
really.
It going on? How would you like the hair?
Yeah. If any cartoon, she would sound like the lunch lady from The Simpsons. So that's
I was going to say, or maybe Marge's sisters.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe true. Maybe that was it. But she was actually very nice, and she did a great job. So we wanted to go someplace where, like, they're used to cutting kids' hair, because it's certainly a different thing. But it was
like
interesting.
Go where everybody knows your name?
Exactly, yeah. But it'd be really weird if everyone knew my name at a place that cuts kids' hair, considering I've never went there before.
So was it, like, $23 for a haircut? Dollars.
It was like $18 for.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? I'm like, he's 9 months old.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, but they gave us a certificate and a lock of his hair. So
a certificate, yeah. Like, this is an authentic
the certificate
haircut.
Is for the, authenticity of the kid's hair.
And I'm like, oh, and they give us a lock of his hair. But I'm like, you realize, like, that's his hair. You can't sell us that. Like, that doesn't, like, somehow make the price better. It's like, you give us a lock of hair. But, yeah. So, I guess we're scrapbooking. I don't know.
So. I'm not paying you to cut off pieces of hair and give it back to me.
No, not at all. But we've also had a lot of weird weather here, mostly like ice and then rain and then snow. And it's been a while since we last recorded, but I was off for a few days here and there. And during that time off, I was working from home, but I threw the TV on in the background and different things. And one thing I was catching up with, because the second season just came on Netflix not too long ago, was Young Justice. I don't know if you guys have watched any of that at all.
Watched the first season. I tried to watch the second season, and then it was a while after when I started watching the second season. Got very confused. Wasn't sure if I missed something at the end of the first season or if I actually did finish watching the first season. So now I'm going back through the first season, working my way back to the second season now.
I can see why you would get confused, because there is a big time jump from the end of season one to the beginning of season two.
Okay.
It's like a 5-year time jump.
Okay. I was so damn confused going back. I was like, what?
So now it's like Young Adult something? Justice.
Exactly. Well, they get like new characters. The first season is on the characters are Aqualad, Kid Flash, Robin, Martian Manhunter's daughter, not daughter, niece, I guess. I forget her actual name. Megan something. Yeah. And a few other characters here and there kind of pop in and pop out. I had very little expectations for the show, but I actually ended up really liking it. I thought it was so much better than I expected, and I think it is on par with the other Justice League cartoon. And the one thing I did have to get around was the names of the characters. Like, I do wonder, you just show you how creative comic book writers were back in the day when these names came up. It's like, okay, it's Kid Flash. It's Flash's kid sidekick. I guess we'll just go Kid Flash. Is that we're just gonna go with that? We're not gonna add it. We're just gonna go with Kid Flash. Okay.
Well, it's like Speedy was already taken. So
true. Speedy was taken. I do find it funny they do make that joke a lot. So it's like they call Kid Flash Speedy all the time. Like, no, he's not Speedy. That's the other guy. And then there's like Aqualad, which I'm like, they kind of just update that name. They're going to go with, you're going to stick with Aqualad. All right. Well, there you go. Okay. How can we make Aquaman lamer? Call him
Lad and make him English.
But Aqualad is actually a pretty cool character. That was kind of interesting that he was kind of the leader of it, but there are a lot of interesting plot elements. I thought, like, character wise that it had the fact that it is Young Justice, you saw so much more development with these characters from season one and throughout season one and season two. And I had a lot of initial issues with the show, but a lot of the issues I had were kind of solved, like with Martian Manhunter's Megan, that character. Like, she's a Martian, and she has a certain like speech pattern, and something about her character really bugged me. And I was like, man, this is really getting annoying. But then when you kind of find out where she's basing her human form off, it makes so much sense. I'm like, okay, now I
understand. Stop, Megan.
Yeah. Hello, Megan. I'm like, stop. That is awful. Hello, Megan, yeah. And it was so bad. But then when you see, like, oh, that's where she's getting it from, it makes sense why it's like that. And there's a lot of little things like that. But I thought the action is fantastic. Probably has the second best voice for Batman. I forget his name. It's the guy who is in, I'm looking up right now, it's the guy who was in Star Trek, who was who's the captain who recruits Kirk. Bruce Greenwood.
Yeah.
Bruce Greenwood.
Was it bad that I was thinking of the original Star Trek and original Kirk?
Well, bad. I'd be more, if you actually pulled that name out of your hat, I'd be impressed. But yeah, Bruce Greenwood, who was really good, honestly. I thought his Batman has a really like authoritative voice to it, which works well because he's kind of like the overseer of this group. But yeah, it was kind of cool too, I guess. I don't know how true this is, but there is this rumor going around that like Netflix is looking at the metrics and looking at people watching the show and seeing how like active people are and how many people are actually viewing it and sticking with it. And
Netflix know that they're in America? We don't use the metric system.
True. But and if they feel like there's enough interest that there's debate or there's rumors that they might be trying to get a season three for the show. I don't know how true that is. I find it highly unlikely. I mean, it's not impossible, but it just considering it's an animated TV show, like those are kind of hard to do.
They've done animated before. They've done what was that shitty movie with Ryan Reynolds that was animated?
Turbo.
I think
those they didn't. The difference is like this would be like from a WB property, and I don't know. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I wonder if it would actually happen. I think it'd be cool. So if you're wondering about watching it and you have interest in seeing it, definitely give it a look. And it's worth it too. So if you've only watched the first season, I don't know which season I like more. In season two, we do get Nightwing, you know, and other characters too, so they kind of show up more.
Is Superboy still in season two?
Yeah, Superboy's in both seasons. So
yeah, because I liked him a lot in the first season, but
I feel like in season two he's not nearly as much of a focus.
Yeah,
what's interesting. I felt like with season two, it's a season long story. It is like a complete arc, like where every episode kind of revolves around this one story. So it does feel like a complete graphic novel in that way, where it's not like episode of the week type of stuff, which I was not expecting for a cartoon. So I thought that was pretty cool for the second season. So for the most part, there's some off episodes here and there, but besides that though, I know the other thing that did come out, keeping in the comic book realm, was the trailer for Daredevil season two. Chuck, I know that you did see this, so I was curious what you thought of the trailer for Daredevil season two now with Punisher.
I thought
it sounded like a really bad ad.
It does.
Season two of Daredevil now with fresh Punisher flavor.
You do get fresh, you get plenty of that. So
you just need like the slap chop guy trying to sell it. That's all you need.
It's not a good infomercial like slap chop. It's more shake weighty.
It's more shake weighty. I thought it was pretty awesome, actually. I was kind of curious to see, like, I was really eager to see Bernthal as the Punisher and just get like a few snippets of him and see what he would be like. And I gotta say, I was pretty pleased with what I did see. Didn't give you a whole lot, but I thought he was kind of he was kind of pulling off that dark and brooding Punisher feel for the most part, like sort of like a low, gritty voice. And then obviously getting very animated when he was having the discussion with Daredevil about about which one of their people gets up after they hit them. I thought that was kind of amusing. I don't know, it was pretty cool. I was especially impressed with the twist at the end with the character that showed up. That was pretty awesome. I was not expecting that in the trailer.
What a twist!
And believe it or not, that's only like the first part of the trailer. Like, I guess there's a second part that's coming out February 25th. So I don't know how much more they're going to show in that one or not, but
that's interesting. I'm curious, because were you at all shocked that there was like no mention of the Kingpin at all?
Not really. I mean, I kind of was like expecting maybe they would have him in a couple episodes, but actually went on IMDb in the cast list, and like they already have a lot of the characters listed for like how many episodes they appear in, and yeah, it's cumulative. So like they should, obviously they have Charlie Cox listed to 26 episodes, and somebody else listed at 26 episodes, and then they still have Kingpin listed at 13, I think.
Hmm.
So I don't think he's going to be much of a factor in this season at all. Maybe just very, very slightly. But
that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is, because he really kind of is what cemented that first season towards the end. Like, that's what really kind of drove it home for you. But
you know, when we heard that the Punisher was going to be in season two of Daredevil, I guess like from my mind, I was thinking, oh, I'll probably be like in an episode here and there, but it seems like that is like the main focus of this season is Daredevil against Punisher, and you know, the idea that Punisher is coming about mainly because of what Daredevil did, and him having to deal with the repercussions, which is great because that's so much goes into the character of Daredevil that is so much about guilt. So it's like, right. Here's another thing to add on to
your... Here's this guy that you created that kills everyone.
Yeah. And I'm liking Barathol as the Punisher. He does seem like it is very much what I expected from him. It does feel like him as Shane from Walking Dead being a little bit more crazed, but a little bit more, I guess, moral in a sense. So I am looking forward to how, like, them seeing them show down, and it looks great, just as great as last season did. And so I, knowing that there's a second piece of it, I do wonder, like, what more there is if there's another big bad there. I do wonder if, like, you can have an entire season with these two, like, that being the focus, I guess.
Well, an interesting tidbit is that both the Punisher character and the Elektra character are slated to appear in every episode this season.
I wonder if there'll be another villain in some capacity. I assume there would have to be.
Yeah.
At least you would think. Or possibly some sort of mob boss that is related to taking that, the person who killed the Frank Castle's family.
Do you think they would go Bullseye at all?
I wonder, because there was a kind of a hint to him in season one with the one sniper episode. So it's possible. There's, I think, ways that you can incorporate that character without people realizing it, like they did season one. So maybe.
I can't help but wonder, because once they start bringing Elektra into it and, like, developing that sort of love interest and everything like that, I can't help but wonder if, you know, Bullseye is just going to come in and ruin it on him, but.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt they'll be bringing, like, Stiltman in or anything like that.
Right. they're
a little far other array of villains, but
although they did make the reference to the guy last season with was it the Guardian or whatever?
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't really have him, but they kind of made a reference to him, which was cool.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see, like, Luke Cage at all, or if there'll be any showing up, or I don't know.
That would be cool. Little crossover action. Because, I mean, they have to tie them together at some point, right? Before they do the Defenders series.
I think so. Maybe Matt Murdock is helping Luke Cage out on some of his bark. I don't know. He's trying to... I had a joke there, or I had an idea there. But
his insurance claims after his bar blew up.
Exactly. be like, it's arson. Like, no, it's not. How did you survive? Funny story about that.
I was watching Kingdom of the Crystal Skull at the time, and I just jumped in the refrigerator.
It worked. People say that movie's unrealistic, but...
Nice.
So looking forward to it. Can't wait. It comes out like a week before Batman vs. Superman, so it's going to be an insane year when it comes to comic book-related things. I feel like we're getting no sleep anymore. Yeah. So.
Did you see the other little teaser that they put out? It wasn't much, but it was like... Daredevil chained to the little brick chimney thing or whatever, and you hear, like, gunshots in the background, and, like, he's kind of screaming because he can't get loose. So it's kind of like, obviously, like, the Punisher chained him up there, and he can't get to stop him before he kills whoever he's going after, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
No, I did not see that, so. Well, there is tons of stuff to see out there. Let us know what you think about the trailer. But what we're going to do right now is take a quick break. And when we come back, we were talking about the movie I feel like we've been waiting forever for. And that's not Daredevil, but the other guy who wears a red suit. And not Santa Claus, but Deadpool. So we'll see you in a bit.
Open that.
Pool. Dead.
Why the fancy red suit, Mr. Pool?
When a dude tries to make you a super slave and kidnaps your future baby mama, the time has come to be a superhero.
Cue the music.
X gon' give it to ya. He gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya.
I only have 10 bullets, so you're gonna have to share. I am very turned on right now.
X gon' give it
to ya. We can't allow this Deadpool
Colossus.
Nobody's getting hurt.
That guy was up there before we got here.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we are discussing The Merc with the Mouth, this time without a sewed mouth, the movie that, like, somehow finally got made. I remember way back when we talked about the leak footage and how much we enjoyed that, and now the movie is finally here. Greg, let's start with you, because I feel like you probably, We're all Deadpool fans, but you might be the biggest one, maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, you prefer Cable over Deadpool.
I do prefer Cable over Deadpool. I mean, he does look like Keira Knightley, so...
I don't think Chuck ever really read any Deadpool comics, so I would say you're correct, since I rate Deadpool over Cable any day of the week. But yeah, I thought it was freaking excellent. Definitely met and went beyond expectations. It's not a very complicated plot at all, to be honest, but it definitely fills it in with a lot of action, a lot of comedy. So it really did need to be very plot heavy to be a winner, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely not. It's not like people are like, you know what I love Deadpool for? His plot. He's got amazing plots.
well, he does have some interesting situations sometimes going on in the comics. So true.
He's not void of plot, but you know, it's
no, but yeah. It's he's not plot heavy, and it kind of went how I expected it to. They were definitely shooting back and forth between past and present flashbacks and everything. So that was kind of expected. But otherwise, I thought it was really great. I didn't have any huge complaints. I don't think I even really had any small complaints. I was very happy that they had the Rosie O'Donnell line in there, because I thought it was the much better line than the Jose Canseco line.
It's funny, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, Greg's going to be happy.
Yes. But yeah, overall good. I think it'd be more interesting to hear the your guys' side, who come from a background that doesn't involve as much Deadpool.
So, Jack, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the Deadpool film?
I'll be honest, I hated it. I thought it was total garbage. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
Nah. No, Greg is right. I have never really read any Deadpool pretty much ever, so I wasn't quite sure what to expect going into this. I knew the gist of it, that he was, like, a funny character and everything, and I kind of knew his basic
funny
story.
Funny how, Chuck?
Funny, ha-ha, like he amuses clown. Me. And I kind of went in thinking, like, obviously this is not a well-known character to your average layperson, because I had people asking me, like, who's this Deadpool guy? Like, what, you know, what does he do and everything? And I'm like, I know the basic thing about him, and that's about it. But I'm like, just go see it, because it's going to be hilarious. That's all I know. And that's pretty much what I was banking on, because... I'm like, if this movie is going to be a success, it's going to be because of the comedy, and they're going to have to knock it out of the park. And I was worried that it was going to be one of those things where, like, all the funny lines are in the trailers, because, you know, the two trailers they put out were pretty hilarious in themselves, but they really held up to it. They did knock it out of the park. I mean, for every line that was in the trailer, there were dozens more behind it, and I was just super, super impressed at how they were able to keep up the level of comedy through the whole movie. And I honestly kind of felt like, it kind of felt like the first time I watched Hangover. Like, it was just, it was for a first time watch, it was just one of those great experiences where just rolling with every punch, like everyone was just making me laugh. Like, and I mean, Greg and I were sitting right next to each other. Obviously we were laughing at the same stuff, but it was awesome. Like,
hold your hands.
The whole, the whole theater was pretty much cracking up. I mean, I think there were certain jokes that we got better than other people got, but for the most part, like, the entire theater was, you know, cracking up through the whole movie, and I was really impressed with that. I liked that the plot was simple, because I feel like with how many jokes they were throwing at you, you didn't really want to be thinking too much, because you kind of want to remember some of these funny lines so you could repeat them the next day. Like, to all your friends and stuff. So, I mean, I think it worked well. I like how they kind of layered it, where they went back and forth telling the story, kind of like past and present. Like, I thought it worked very well. You know, liked how he broke the fourth wall a few times throughout and everything. So, yeah, I didn't know what to expect going in, but I was super, super impressed coming out. And I bragged it up to people I work with and stuff, and I got them all hyped up, so they're going to go see it now.
My theater is the same thing. I actually went on a Saturday morning at like 10 a.m. and it was like packed, and I was really surprised by that. Well, not after I saw like it made like $1 trillion, but yeah, I'll make it 3 for 3. I really, really enjoyed this, and I know one of the biggest complaints we were talking and mentioning it, and I saw people complaining that, you know, it is somewhat formulaic. It's just taking it's kind of the superhero origin that we know and just adding a different element of kind of comedy to it. And I think, yeah, that's exactly what it should be doing. Because Deadpool basically is a spoof character. Like, Deadpool has to exist in a comic book. He's a character who realizes he exists in a comic book. And in this, he realizes he exists in a comic book movie. So you need this movie to feel and like a comic book movie in every element of it. By having that comic book structure, you're allowing his character to kind of be exactly what it is in the comics. It's like a great spoof. If you look at something like Naked Gun, that plot of Naked Gun is very much the plot of a crime drama of that type. But they just add this layer of spoof to it, and then you have a spoof comedy. Airplane, you take out the comedy, and you have your airplane drama or thriller that you would normally have. And I think that's what this is. The difference is, though, is that Deadpool is not a spoof film. It's a movie with a character that is a spoof character. Like, everything about the world is all kind of normal except for Deadpool. He's the thing that makes it odd and unique and different. So I think it has to have that structure of a comic book film or comic book film for it to make sense. And what I did really like about it, though, is with its familiar plot, one element that you often see with comic book movies is that relationship. And you know, from Mary Jane and Peter Parker to, you know, the X-Men relationships and Wolverine and Jean Grey or what have you. But I felt like this one was one of the best out of any of the actual comic book movies, that the chemistry that the characters had was really strong. And I loved how it maintained its R rating within that relationship. It didn't try to kiddie it up, or it didn't try to force in a relationship that from another film into this one. It stayed with the sensibilities the movie had. And ultimately, you know, it's a movie that is really designed just to be really fun and enjoyable, but it becomes even more enjoyable because you invest in these characters, you care about these characters, and you really want to see Deadpool get that revenge. It's your revenge tale. I mean, there are some issues with it. I mean, it's a movie that maybe doesn't have the scope of that of a big comic book movie. This is not a movie about saving the world, which it doesn't have to be, but it also, like, it has a villain that's somewhat forgettable. He's a good foil for Deadpool, but not much more. But that's what I really enjoy. But one thing I want to go back to, Chuck, knowing that you are a huge Colossus fan, how did you feel like Colossus was represented in this?
I thought he was represented perfectly, to be honest. I really did enjoy his fight with Angel Dust, Gina Carano. I enjoyed that a lot because he did get knocked around a little bit, but I definitely feel like he was pretty much holding back most of the time because, like, you know, like, he made the comment about not wanting to hit a woman and everything, and, like he was fighting her and everything, but he was kind of holding back because he didn't know how much she could take and everything, and then obviously, like, you know, when her boob fell out and he was, like, blocking it with his hand and stuff. Like, that's classic Colossus. Like, that's totally how he would be, like, just, like, a good guy and everything, and, of course, his big speech at the end there to Wade trying to get him to, you know, spare the villain, which obviously doesn't work, but, you know, I just felt like they were very true to his character, and I would have loved to see him cut loose a little bit more physically. Obviously, they didn't have anybody that he could really do that with and still stay true to his character and everything, so I liked the way they did it, though. I was pretty happy with it.
What did you think of the look of him? Did it bug you that it was just a completely CGI character?
No, not at all, actually. I loved the look of him. I thought it, like, I know it was CGI, and, like, you don't really get to see him in the human form, but I didn't have a problem with that at all. I think it looked good. It wasn't too, like, it wasn't too shiny and glossy, kind of like the other Colossus was. I mean, it was more like, it looks like he's actually been kicking some ass, because he's kind of got some dirt on him and stuff, and he's a little... He's not all polished and bright and stuff and like fake looking like the other Colossus was. So I really liked how he looked, and I don't think it was necessary to show him in the human form either, based on his role as a supporting character. So I was pretty happy with how they used him.
Nice. I know we talked about it a little bit, but Greg, I remember when this was coming up and when people were talking about it, one thing you're like, he's got to break the fourth wall. He has to be able to do that. How did you think they handled that element of the character within this actual film?
I thought they did great with it, especially in the after credits scene, because I have seen that other movie that they're referring to, and I thought they nailed that on the head. And there were some great moments where he talked to us or kind of brought us into the world a little bit, kind of like in the commercial, the trailer for it, when he refers to the Green Lantern costume, which there were a couple more digs on that inside the movie itself, which were really great. And another neat thing that's kind of a fourth wall break is the credits, the opening credits, which I thought were great. They didn't have actual names of the people. They had funny comments. The producers were a bunch of asshats or something, I think.
Yeah.
so that was just great in itself, that whole thing.
Directed by some douchebag.
Yeah. So I thought that was really great.
With a bratty teenager. And...
Yeah, British villain.
CGI sidekick or something. So I thought that was really great. I thought it was a great way to go with it. And even the closing credits were a lot of fun and funny. So I seriously did not have a problem with any of it, really. I was talking to my brother, who is an Iron Man fan. The only reason he's an Iron Man fan is because of the movies, and he's never really read a comic book in his life. And I asked him if he liked the movie. He goes, yeah, I think I have another favorite comic book character. So I was really happy about that, too.
Yeah, I like the way different ways they did it. Like, there's referencing to the, you know, a lot of referencing to Wolverine, which is about the character, about the actual movie that he was in. That was enjoyable for sure. I was wondering how far they would take that, and I think they took it as far as you possibly could without being too much. Actual moments when he's like moving the camera, which were pretty cool, and I think it was smart to start it from the beginning. And I was wondering, like, how well audiences would react to something like that, but I thought for my audience, it was no problem. It just seemed like it was just, you know, they just kind of went with it. So,
go ahead, Jack.
Oh, sorry. You know, I thought was interesting, just real quick, about the fourth wall breaking. I think it was the one scene when they were still on the bridge on the highway, and Deadpool was saying something, and I think one of the other characters, like, questioned him about it, and he's like, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to them.
Yeah.
but none of the other characters acknowledged it. Like, they didn't even ask, like, who's
well,
them
the
like
time,
what are you talking
characters
about
try to ignore Deadpool because he's fucking annoying as hell,
right?
To
well
them,
I just
so.
Like, that's kind of, I was trying to, like, let that lead me in thought a little bit and, like, take me somewhere, and I was thinking, like, okay, so why would they do that? And I'm thinking, like, well, I guess most characters just assume that he's insane.
Yeah,
so
yes.
they pretty much just ignore what he says. Like, oh,
they
you
usually
know, he must...
in the comics, they're usually like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they usually chalk it up to him being insane. And
so they probably figure like, oh, he's got, you know, invisible friends that he's talking to or something. Uh-huh. But it's just funny how, like, they stayed true to that, even with the other characters' reaction to it. I thought that was pretty cool.
But I was going to say my favorite line, and I think it's one of Chuck's favorites, is the references to the X-Men of, oh, you're going to take me to Xavier? Which one? McAvoy or Stewart? I don't know. These timelines are so confusing. And when they show up at the X-Mansion and he's looking around, he goes, he kind of peeks in the door. He goes, it's weird how there's this big mansion, but I only ever see two of you. It's like the producers couldn't find enough money to afford the rest of the X-Men.
Those are my two favorite lines in the movie by far.
Yeah. Because I was actually kind of thinking that, too. I'm like, really? I thought it was kind of insane that they went as far with the X-Men as they did. But it makes so much sense, because I always feel like Deadpool's a character that works best when he's with other characters. Like, he doesn't, that's why I enjoyed Cable and Deadpool, because they had a really good interaction. So I was smart, I think, to add in like a Colossus and Mega Teenage Warhead, I don't forget her name.
Negasonic.
You got it right. Negasonic Warhead or whatever. Teenage Warhead. Which I guess is actually a real X-Men character from Grant Morrison's run. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I had to Google her, I'll be honest. But
yeah. And, I never read it. So I thought it was pretty cool that she was like, she was wearing all this gothic stuff, but when things went down, she kind of got into her X-Men actual uniform, which was pretty cool. But I thought, you know, going back to what I was saying, Deadpool, I think, needs characters to play off of. And by having a Colossus there and having those characters there, it did ground it, because you're seeing his reaction with these characters, which was quite good. And even if it's something like a taxi driver, and I thought that was a fun little element. And I think that goes back to what Chuck said, how
good job, buddy.
They didn't just put all the good, funny stuff in the trailer. So they did. There was a lot of stuff that they didn't even touch upon within the trailer. They really, I think, did a lot of smart marketing with this movie from beginning to end. And I'm glad they're actually getting a lot of success with it. So,
and here's something I am really surprised about. After I saw the movie and everything, came back, tell my parents about it, I am quite surprised that my mom now really wants to go see Deadpool.
Really?
Yes, my mother. Wow.
I'm sorry, I cannot see that.
Right?
I can't see
that.
But she
totally wants to go. I'm like, you know, it's like really violent, like there's
dirty comments,
and like there's boobs out there. Not like that's gonna affect her much since she's a woman, but like it's rated R and it's really going for that rated R. Like kids were getting ID'd at the door, and if they didn't have the ID, parents had to come back and everything and go watch movie with the kids.
Yeah, they were actually enforcing it at our theater.
They were not enforcing it at my theater. I saw many people. Well, I shouldn't say that. They could have just been with their parents, which I guess makes it worse. I saw at least like a dozen kids under the age of 12 or so. So
yeah, didn't we hear like some kid under the age of 5 was with his dad in it or something like that, Chuck?
Oh, yeah, that was a couple of my coworkers. They ended up getting there late, and it was actually sold out, so they had to go to the next show. And they were telling me that they had like, there was a guy in there, and he looked like he had, like, a really, really young kid with him. And I'm like, really? Like, what is wrong with you?
I know way back a few episodes ago we talked about it being rated R, and there was that petition for it to be rated PG-13 or so. We talked about would that be an issue if they had, like,
how would they even get it down to a PG-13 from what they had?
That's what would be my question to you guys. Do you think this could be at all changed to a PG-13 rating and still be the same movie?
No.
It definitely would not be the same movie, but I think it would still be somewhat enjoyable for a kid that would be, you know, looking for a comic book movie. I think there's still elements that would support them liking it. You know, you have good fight scenes and action and everything. And I mean, it you would definitely be cutting a lot of things out of it. And like, any adult that would watch it would probably be completely ruined for them. But yeah, it would be really, really hard to accomplish that.
I look at like something like his origin, him being created, like that itself to me is, you know, there's no blood there. There's no really, but psychologically, I mean, that's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know. That's intense. In the idea of like being in this machine where you're constantly almost going to suffocate, like
if you're not strong of mind, you're almost having a panic attack right in the theater, like
so I feel like that would have some hugely negative impact. So I is it possible? Probably, but I do think it's gonna be, I don't think it'd be nearly as successful. I don't necessarily think you need an R rating, but I do think this movie that they made, I cannot see it working without that, because it certainly gets into, like, even like I mentioned, from everything, like the relationship of the characters to the way Deadpool is to like the crazy old blind lady. I don't know. There'd be a lot.
Blindell?
Yeah. Is she from the comics? I couldn't remember.
Yes.
I don't know.
Except she wasn't a black lady. She was white in the comics, but I don't think that mattered any.
Yeah. And I did love the little cameo of Bob, even though he wasn't.
Yes, that was great. Yeah.
Probably
no one got that, but they still made it funny, though. Yeah.
They found a way to screw over Marvel and take one of their characters without... I mean,
because they can't copyright the name Bob.
Right.
So then, you know, it's just Bob, but it's not Bob the Agent of Hydra. So for those that don't know, there's this character in the comics, debuted in Cable and Deadpool, where he was just this guy who was a Hydra agent, but he was just like a regular dude who, you know, befriends Deadpool and becomes Bob the Agent of Hydra. And it's just this wacky thing that kind of continues and into becoming a norm in the comics for a while. So that's, they reference that within the film where they have this guy, Bob, and he's a little bit more a doofus in the comics, I would say, but
yeah,
it was quite good. But. And one thing I did want to mention too, was that we didn't talk about it, but we have to give huge dividends to Ryan Reynolds. Cause man, that we talked about it it's been rumored and people wanted to see it forever, but the guy is Deadpool in every shape and form.
Yeah.
Without him, this movie would not be what it is. And it's his maybe one of the best representations of a character when it comes to a comic book movie ever. So.
Yeah. And you could see like flashes of that when he played Hannibal King in Blade 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you could see like a lot of Deadpool elements in that character, in that performance even. Like it was pretty obvious he's the right choice.
Yeah, definitely. And it's because of him that this movie really was being made. I think he was the one that supposedly leaked the footage, and he's been trying to get it off the ground forever. So I'm glad to see it pay off, because it made, like, I did not think this movie would be nearly successful as it was. I thought it would be, like, as successful as Kick-Ass or something like that. But it actually made more money opening weekend than a lot of comic book movies, from Iron Man to X-Men Apocalypse, or not X-Men Apocalypse, but X-Men Days of Future Past, really any X-Men movie, I think. So it's insane. So we're definitely getting a Deadpool 2. And when thinking about Deadpool 2, any thoughts on where they can go? I know they talked about Cable. Do you think, are they going to be able to make that work within this? Or are they going to have to change that character around to make Cable work in a comic book
movie? I think they might have to change him around a little bit. I don't think too much. The thing concerning me going forward is Deadpool having a girlfriend, because that doesn't happen too often. Like in the comics, Copycat really doesn't stay around and everything. Currently, Deadpool is married, but that is a very tumultuous relationship at this point, which started off really great, and I was very happy with his wife. I thought she was a lot of fun. Shikla, the succubus. I actually have a drawing here drawn by Riley Brown of Shikla, but I can't really picture Deadpool with having a girlfriend along for too long. I'm wondering if maybe something's going to happen to her in the second movie to make this work, because I don't picture him having a girlfriend for too long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think it may not be a major element of the next movie, but I'm not sure. But is there any worry with a movie like Deadpool where you have so many types of jokes? You have this character that, kind of like what happened with the comic, where it gets overexposed. There's any worry he'll get overexposed by making another movie? Or people talked about getting appearances in other X-Men films. Is it going to be too much of Deadpool based upon the success of this one?
Comics?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't really – I don't know. I guess I don't really see him appearing in other X-Men movies. I don't think I see more of like other characters appearing in his movies for whatever reason. And I know, like, originally I thought, well, you know, maybe they're gonna make some sort of reference to him in Age of Apocalypse, but I don't really think that they will. I do think there's an outside chance that maybe they're gonna do some sort of some reshoots for X-Men Apocalypse in the next like month or so. They might put like an end credit scene in with like Cable or something, just to try to like introduce him. I don't know if they would do that, because there hasn't been any casting news about him at all, but I know Stephen Lang wants to play him really, really badly apparently, but
I could see him playing the character. I think someone mentioned Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I think he could make a good role. Someone mentioned Kevin Nash. I'm like, please don't do that.
I did see, he definitely has the look, but I don't know if he has the skill.
Yeah. I mean, like, he just needs to get an outfit with a lot of patches and he'll be good.
Right. Maybe they have Stephen Lang do the voice and all the acting, and then just have Kevin Nash as the stand-in. I don't know. I see some different X-Men characters maybe appearing in the Deadpool sequel. Like, obviously we know Cable, but I feel like they're going to throw in maybe one more prominent X-Men character or something like that. Sadly, I don't know if we'll get to see Colossus again. Maybe they'll bring him back if people really liked him enough, but I feel like they would probably go with another one just to try to, like, shake it up a little bit. I don't know.
I did like Colossus in the boob scene.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful woman. Please, you're on the left side.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Very nice.
Ah, that's so sweet.
Not a lot of guys would do that.
Clocks him.
I don't know who they, like, where they could go with the character, but like I said, this is a movie that didn't really rely a lot on plot, so it's not necessarily, as long as it's funny, you'll be successful. So there's not many really main Deadpool villains. Even the Cable and Deadpool story didn't really have a lot, but I guess maybe they could, I don't know, like, I think Apocalypse, but I doubt they could go there after the next movie, so who knows? I don't know. Maybe it'll be Cable versus Deadpool in some way.
As long as they don't give away the plot in the trailer, like some other comic company does.
It's not really Cable versus Deadpool at the end. We find out it's really like a... Man, I don't know. I'm blanking. But
you see them eating ice cream together or something. It's like, wait a minute. They're not versus each other.
But
Deadpool would do that no matter what.
Let me ask you a question to you guys. From this random article I was reading during the week, this one guy was sort of... He had a review of Deadpool, and I'm not going to say what site it was or who it was, because honestly, I don't remember. But the guy was basically harping on it pretty good. He was like, he was complaining about it, saying a lot of the comedy references, like pop culture references, are things that are in the here and now, and they're not going to hold up like 20 years from now. And I really don't see how that's relevant.
Well, they had references to freaking Wham, which is from the 80s.
Right. I mean, they're making this movie to make money now, not 20 years from now. So I really don't see how that's relevant. But just other things, too, is saying about how the serious parts in the movie somehow took away from the enjoyable experience. Like, it slowed it down too much for him. Like, he was hoping it stayed with the fast pace and a comedy theme throughout the whole thing. Like, he thought the serious moments dragged it down a little bit, which I don't agree with at all, but I was hoping to get your guys' opinion on that.
Yeah, I think ultimately Deadpool's, within all the jokes, within all his humor, he's still kind of a tragic character in a way, and I didn't get that at all. To me, like I mentioned with that story, with the love story, I thought it was super effective, and then I think you need to have a reasoning to why this guy would go through what he did. And I think comedy is best when you do have levity to it, when you do have elements of serious drama in there, here and there, were in well placed. Like, one of my favorite comedies of all time is Groundhog Day, and that gets into some serious
love that movie,
some serious stuff as well. So I didn't feel that at all. Like, it to me made sense for the character. It made sense in the fact that it's giving motivations to the character. It's making it not just a hollow film full of just random laughs. There's actually something to him as a person. Like, he's this huge joke, but it's this huge joke that really is using humor to kind of hide the fact that he is really ashamed of who he is, and he becomes this pitiful figure that is just lost everything and kind of hides it with this insanity and humor. So I'm not that issue whatsoever.
And not only that, but also the fact that for as crazy and as insane as he is, the audience watching him is not insane. So they need something to relate to him by. So you sort of need something just to, like, okay, how can the audience connect with this guy? All right, he's in love with this girl and he gets terminal cancer. Like, that's something that at least people can somewhat connect with emotionally and understand maybe how he went through this transformation and why and stuff like that. Like, you know, you can't just make a movie that's crazy and bonkers through and through with absolutely no coherent plot. Like, there has to be something for the audience to relate to, like, just for the sake of filmmaking. Like, yeah. Craig, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with both you guys. And there's also when Deadpool got really good for me was just recently in the past year or two when he found out that he kind of had a family going there at one point and he was confused about everything going on. And he did become a little bit more serious. He's trying to find himself whether he wanted to be a hero or not, whether he was a merc or not. And so I thought it gave him a little bit more depth, made him a little bit more interesting. But he still had that humor going on, which made him. To be quite honest, I think that the person that wrote that review or whatever is kind of crazy because it did not feel like the humor stopped that long for the drama. I think all the humor packed in there helped the drama hit a little bit harder just because there's such a severe difference. But I didn't feel like the more dramatic scenes went on too long at all. And I thought the concepts of the dramatic scenes were kind of interesting, at least, and not like except in super cliche. And if it was cliche, like getting cancer, at least the words spoken during that, where he kind of was like, I wasn't thinking about anything else but looking at her face and trying to like get the picture of her face to meld in my mind so I wouldn't lose it when I died. I thought that was kind of an interesting take on that situation. It wasn't a cliche way of dealing with it. Something we haven't heard before when somebody was going through cancer and trying to deal with it. And I thought the dramatic scene of him in that tube was an interesting concept of torture. Not saying it's a good thing, just an interesting concept, to say the least. For how long that movie was, I don't feel like there was a lot of drama in it. So I think the proportions from drama to funny, the comedy definitely weighed out the drama. So I don't understand that why that guy was complaining about it.
Yeah, pretty much at the end of every dramatic scene, he would crack a hilarious joke. And yes. Like Dan said, that played right into, you know, the tragedy of his character, like how he, that's how he deals with that situation.
Yeah, he's like a Hawkeye Pierce over in
exactly.
Korea.
That's how he deals with basically like the hell that he's living in, sort of like. So it's kind of essential to the movie. Like, I don't see how you could even take that out. Like, it's, I don't know. But I thought it'd be interesting to hear you guys' take on that. I'm glad you kind of agree with me.
It's like the opposite of like an action film, right? Where an action film has mostly all action and then you add in some comedy here and there, where this is like the 180 of that, where it's a lot of comedy and within that you have layers of action, layers of serious drama. So I don't know, like that, I think that's acting like a movie can't do more
it's
than one
like
thing.
A parfait, Dan. Everybody loves parfaits, Shrek.
So what about the claim that the jokes won't hold up like 20 years from now? Like,
But most of the jokes were kind of like 80s-ish. Like, they had jokes about Wham. They had jokes about... they had jokes about freaking Ferris Bueller, which is from the 80s.
The only thing that joke that kind of think may not hold up would be like the McAvoy Stewart joke, but that's in reference to the X-Men timeline.
Yeah. And the people that are going to watch it decades from now are going to be the comic nerds, and they're going to have seen those movies already and know what's going on.
Yeah, I can't really think of a lot of like current day like references. Maybe I go back and I'll rewatch, and I would be wrong, but
Rosie O'Donnell?
Rosie O'Donnell's timeless. Come on now, we know that.
Timeless classic. No. I guess, if I remember correctly, the argument was that the Snide sort of remarks that Tony Stark makes in the Avengers are kind of independent of what's going on in pop culture at that time, so that would kind of hold up. But this made a lot of like present day references, like the shake weight and the slap chop stuff. And
Deadpool seriously is in the moment. Like, I just sent a picture to Dan of Deadpool in the comic where I didn't show Dan the whole thing, but he was going after getting revenge on all these guys in his little black book, and he was going out to get revenge, and he was going on to get revenge on this guy who ruined the ending of the Harry Potter series for him. You see Deadpool in line waiting for the last Harry Potter book to come out, and somebody drives by, and spoiler alert, Snape kills Dumbledore! Snape kills Dumbledore! And, like, you see Deadpool like, no! But he goes back, and he goes and he punches that guy in the face. But then he goes and then he kills him, and Deadpool goes, that's for setting up Stephen Avery, which is in the lexicon right now with the Making a Murderer series. Like, that's all going out on now. So that's how Deadpool, he does current pop culture. That's what he is. He's a pop culture joke machine.
Yeah, he's again, goes back to the idea that he thinks he's in a comic book movie. So he's then referencing things that are revolving that comic book movie, like Who's the Sexiest Man Alive? And I usually don't like pop culture references, but honestly don't, like, seriously, when I hear that, I don't even remember. The jokes that I found really funny were often not even that. There were sometimes like the physical humor of him cutting his hand off and the reaction to that, and his little like stubby hand he had for a while, which was pretty funny. So I mean, maybe some of them would follow, but like, it's shake weight it's not even like a thing right now, right? I mean, like, that's kind of, people kind of,
yeah,
know
that was a couple of years ago, actually. That's when South Park made fun of it, was like 2 years ago.
It'd be like you know, people making, there's some like, it, you know, set it and forget it, like that thing was like 20 years ago, but people kind of know that somewhat, so maybe somewhat, but I don't think that, I think that is really, I mean, like Tony Stark makes a Galaga joke in Avengers, is that going to hold up 20 years from now? So
this man is playing Galaga.
Yeah,
I see that as a non-issue. I mean, if people watch it, I mean, I'm guessing in the future they're going to be able to look stuff up faster than we can now anyway. So they're just going to be like, what's a slap chop? And then they'll be like, oh, okay, oh, that's funny.
I don't even know what a slap chop is. Like, to me, like, the, I know
you
what
know
a
slap chop is.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. Remember the dude, that guy, Vince, that, like, he went to jail because he, like...
Yeah, ShamWow guy.
Yeah, the ShamWow guy. He did the slap chop thing. It's like a... He just puts stuff in and it's got four blades and it chops stuff up or whatever.
I don't even know what that is.
They
know
did
that
this auto-tune song for it and everything. It's hilarious.
Yes.
See, I'm so out of it, but...
See, it doesn't hold up already. No,
interesting, yeah. But, so I think it's pretty obvious we're all giving high remarks like most people. So it is, it's a movie that is unafraid to be what it is. You know, it's, I think that's kind of, doesn't try to be more, doesn't try to be less. It's just, it is everything I could ever imagine a Deadpool movie being. So good or bad. But all right, anything else before we end this episode?
Did you want to talk any spoilers? Anything that you're itching to say?
I don't know if there's really anything to spoil on it.
Yeah, like, it's not really.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Stan Lee cameo was spoiled for me before I watched it, which was, you know.
Oh, was it? I see. I didn't see that coming. I didn't know.
I didn't see it coming either. It was great.
Greg, tell the story about the dude at the movie theater, what he said.
Oh, my God. There was a poster outside in, like, kind of in the hall area. And it was the poster for Deadpool. It had Deadpool on Colossus' shoulder. And then on the sides, it had, like, the supporting cast and everything. And one of the supporting casts they had on the side was a picture of Stan Lee. And I guess in this one group that was around it, the one girl goes, like, who's that? Or something like that. And the one guy goes, oh, that's Stan Lee. Yeah, he's the one that originally drew Deadpool. I'm like, what? Yeah, he's the one that originally drew Deadpool. I was freaking out about this kid. Like,
Greg almost tackled him. We had to hold him back.
It was insanity.
Oh, gosh. Be like, no, that if they wanted to do that, they would have you know, Rob Liefeld and Fabian Nicieza on the poster.
Apparently they did have Rob Liefeld in the movie. I didn't see him. He was in the bar scene, but I didn't see him.
Oh, really?
While I was watching it. I saw the cup.
Yeah. I saw the cup with the Rob L on it.
He makes a comment. He's like, hey, Liefeld, and like, he's there. He like looking as douchebaggy as ever. But I do think it's funny, like, Rob Liefeld's like making a, he's like, you know, he's been tweeting about Deadpool, and it's great. Like, he helped create the character, but The Deadpool that is in this movie is not the Deadpool he created. Like, him taking credit for it is kind of like, come on now. Like, that's
He came up with the general style. They've definitely tweaked him so he looks much better now, and he has actual correct body proportions.
Well, even his personality when he came out, like with Ralph Steele, he was just like a knockoff Deathstroke wannabe, assassin.
Kind of super serious kind of thing. Yeah.
So, just, like, I mean, like, come on. Like, the fact that, like, that just, to me, shows everything about Robbie Field, where it's like, yeah, look at this character I created. You did, but it's not at all what you created. So.
Did they have any credit to what's the guy's name that actually kind of made him what he is today with, like, breaking the fourth wall and everything?
Oh.
Forget his name.
I'm not going to remember either. I could look it up on my computer if you want.
That was Joe Kelly. I could be wrong.
But yeah. Joe Kelly noted with Deadpool, we could do anything we wanted because everybody just expected the book to be canceled every 5 seconds, so nobody was paying attention, and we could get away with it. Reportedly, Kelly introduced the fourth wall breaking gimmick. So there you go.
Yeah. So they kind of should have thrown him a bone a little bit because he really developed him more into what he is today than Lee Field did, really.
Yeah, and Leafield just drew it. Like,
it's kind of like how Starlin, Starlin sort of created Thanos based on Darkseid, but he took him and like made him into his own different thing. Like, it's kind of like that. I think you got to give a little credit to Kelly there.
It's weird how comic books work at that end, but it's funny too that like Cable and Deadpool like end up having this. I didn't realize as many people were as a fan of that book as you know, like, it's weird that like now this movie's being made and like, oh, obviously we're going to have Cable, but it's, like, really, people put them together. I know I did because I like that book.
Oh, it was hilarious because it's the straight man versus with the funny man. It's Abbott and Costello kind of.
I'd be interested if they have him like go into the future or something next episode, you know, that'd be,
yeah.
We'll see. Alrighty, well, I think that will bring us to the end of this week's episode, but we'd like to hear what you thought of Deadpool, you thought of our review of it. You can do so by commenting or giving us feedback in a number of different ways. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkinginCircles@live.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at HeroicAgeChuck.
I am at The Creative
Forge. And I am at Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now.
This has been Chuck.
This has been Greg. Or Marina Backron's beautiful breasts.
That's a mouthful in more ways than one. And this has been Dan. And we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week.
Did you know I'm pretty sure she's the voice of Gideon in The Flash and Legend of Tomorrow.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She was in the Taylor Swift Batman doing voices.
Yeah, she's done a lot of voice work, actually.
She's in Homefront.
Yeah, she's in Gotham, the first season of Gotham.
That's another
trip.
Got a lot of sure, got a lot of respect. Got a lot of respect for the voice actors.
Watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't have any interest in watching it. Now I do.
It's a good show too. So
I've got a lot of stuff to catch up on. I just got the.
It's not Showtime. That's hard. One person does.